Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suraksha Diagnostics Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2025 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Tendulkar from Orient Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. To discuss this quarter's business performance, we have from the management team, Dr. Somnath Chatterjee, Chairman and Joint Managing Director, Ms. Ritu Mittal, Joint MD and CEO, Mr. Amit Saraf, CFO, and Mr. Balgopal Junjunwala, GM Finance. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found in the company's website and stock exchanges. So, without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for opening comments, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning. This is Dr. Somnath Chatterjee. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here today with us. I welcome you to the maiden earnings call of Suraksha Diagnostics Limited. Our financial results and investor presentation have been uploaded on the exchanges, and I hope you had a chance to review them. I extend a very hearty welcome to everybody who has taken the time out to attend this call. We are grateful to all our shareholders for bestowing their trust in us and making our IPO a success. I will start by providing you with a brief understanding of our company, our business model, and the markets in which we operate. We offer close to 2,300 diagnostic tests covering a range of disciplines, which include routine and specialized pathology, radiology, which includes X-rays, ultrasounds, CTs, MRs, and advanced fetal medicine scans. We also offer omnichannel medical consultation services, both via online and offline modes, from our clinic chambers at all our diagnostic centers. In H1 FY 2025, pathology, radiology, and OPD consultation accounted for around 50%, 46%, and 4% of revenues, respectively. We derived more than 93% of our revenues from the B2C segment, which comprises of individual patients who either walk into our customer touchpoints or use our home collection services or avail medical consultation services through all our polyclinics. We are the largest diagnostic provider in the Eastern Indian market, with West Bengal accounting for approximately 95% of our revenues and the remainder coming from the states of Bihar, Assam, and Meghalaya. We aim to provide customers with quality, hygienic, and reliable diagnostic services through our cluster-based hub-and-spoke model. Implementing this model allows us to collect samples across multiple locations within a cluster and deliver those to our laboratories for diagnostic testing. Consequently, we can achieve greater economies of scale, better consistency in our testing procedure, and enhance brand penetration through our ability to reach more customers in underserved areas. I will now provide the industry overview to help you understand the opportunities that lie ahead of us. The diagnostic market in India is expected to grow by a 10%-12% CAGR during FY 2024 to 2028. The pathology market is expected to rise from approximately INR 480 billion-490 billion to 700 billion-755 billion and grow at a CAGR of 9 to 11% by FY28. The radiology market is expected to grow at a slightly faster pace of 11 to 13% from INR 375 billion Indian rupees to INR 570 to 620 billion. Compared to the national average, Eastern Indian market has substantially lower number of accredited labs per million population, as also a lower number of accredited hospitals. Although pricing for a diagnostic test is premium in the East, the East India and the West Bengal diagnostic market is expected to grow at a CAGR of 10.5 to 12.5 during FY 24 to 28. For nearly a couple of years, we have been able to drive strong EBITDA margin expansion given the limited competition in our markets and economies of scale benefits derived from expanding operations. We will continue to exhibit very strong growth amidst customer preference, which is shifting to branded diagnostic players from standalone players, as well as through our aggressive expansion plans. Moreover, EBITDA margins should remain in an upward trajectory on the back of operating leverage. In conclusion, we are really excited about the changing sector dynamics and remain well positioned to take advantage of our very strong position in the Eastern Indian market. Thank you so much. And with that, I would like to hand over to our CEO, Ms. Rita Mittal.
Thank you, Dr. Chatterjee. I thank everyone for attending this call. Let me brief you about the strengths and strategies of our companies and the prospects. Suraksha Diagnostics continues to leverage its strength to drive competitive advantage against its peers. We are the largest diagnostic chain with a dominant position in Eastern India, offering a one-stop integrated diagnostic solution, including pathology and radiology testing, as well as medical consultation services. We are well positioned to benefit from the high growth opportunity for organized diagnostic chains in the fragmented markets in Eastern and Northeastern India. We have technologically advanced clinical infrastructure and trained personnel, ensuring high quality and reliable diagnostic services. At the end of September 2024, we have 9 laboratories, 51 diagnostic centers, and 178 collection centers with 26 CT scan machines and 13 MRI machines. We also have 276 doctors associated with us for our diagnostic services. We are grateful to all our stakeholders, both past and present, who have helped us reach this impressive scale of operations. Our central reference lab has an accreditation from the College of American Pathologists, and 3 of our labs hold NABL, and 3 of our advanced diagnostic centers have NABH accreditations. The high brand recall for Suraksha Diagnostic and our commitment to superior quality and service are driving high individual consumer business share and customer retention. The vastly experienced management team can guide the company along the future growth path. We believe that our key differentiator is the fact that we provide medical consultation services through online and offline channels at the polyclinic chambers housed in our diagnostic centers. We think that our model of integrated pathology, radiology, and medical consultation services offers a significant barrier to entry for competitors. I will now turn your attention to the strategies which Suraksha Diagnostic is adopting to drive future growth. We plan to consolidate our position in our core geography by opening additional diagnostic centers, enhancing lab capacity and test menu, increasing home collection services, and setting up more hub and spoke centers and franchisee collection centers. We also intend to expand into adjacent markets in Eastern and Northeastern India by replicating the polyclinic model to drive higher patient footfalls, thereby improving profitability. In the future, we could also supplement inorganic growth with selective acquisitions as the industry market share shifts from standalone labs to branded diagnostic chains. We also plan to increase our business-to-business and corporate partnerships to diversify the revenue mix, as well as increase our customer base and brand penetration. Moreover, we will also strive to increase the share of medical consultation services at the diagnostic centers by increasing the number and specialties of doctors associated. We also intend to leverage technology by integrating digital technology, artificial intelligence, and machine learning into our processes. In summary, we are well placed to further strengthen our market position through the implementation of our strategies. We look forward to your continued support from all our stakeholders as we remain committed to delivering value to our shareholders. With that, I would hand over to Mr. Amit Saraf, our CFO, to discuss the company's Q3 and H1 FY25 financial performance.
Thank you, Deetu ma'am. Good morning, everyone. I am very excited to discuss the maiden financial results of Suraksha Diagnostic Limited as a publicly listed company. We delivered a robust set of Q2 and H1 FY25 results across the board. For Q2 FY25, we reported an impressive total income of INR 680.7 million, reflecting a strong growth of 12.3% year-on-year. For the first half of FY25, total income stood at INR 1,299.2 million, which is 14.5% higher in compared to the same period last year. During the quarter, EBITDA grew by 14.6% year-on-year to reach INR 245.1 million on the back of strong operating leverage. For H1 FY25, EBITDA increased by 24.9%, reaching INR 462.3 million. The corresponding EBITDA margin also reflecting substantial improvement. In Q2 FY25, EBITDA margin improved by 109 basis points year-on-year to 36.7%. For the first half, the EBITDA margin surged by over 300 basis points year-over-year to 36.3%. PAT jumped by 21.8% year-on-year in Q2 FY25 to INR 101.6 million, whereas in the first half of FY25, PAT stood at INR 178.2 million, reflecting a substantial 45.3% year-on-year growth. As a result, the Q2 FY25 PAT margin of 15.2%, which was an improvement of more than 130 basis points compared to Q2 FY24. This is clear reflection of our disciplined approach towards the growth. We have been consistently improving our operational metrics as well. For H1 FY25, revenue per patient amounted to INR 2099, with EBITDA per patient reaching INR 761. The revenue per lab stood at INR 142 million in half year. We also have a robust balance sheet as our net cash and bank balance increased to INR 498.4 million at the end of H1 FY25 compared to 463.9 million at the end of FY24. To sum up, we are extremely pleased with our financial performance for Q2 and H1 FY25. The strong growth in total income, EBITDA and PAT coupled with improving margins and operating metrics demonstrates our ability to execute our strategy and deliver sustainable profitable growth. Looking ahead, we remain focused on continuing to invest in technology, improving operational efficiency and delivering value for our shareholders. We are confident in our ability to sustain this momentum through the remainder of FY25. I want to take this opportunity to thank you everyone on this call for being part of our journey and we look forward to your continued support. That concludes my remarks and I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead. Mr. Patra has dropped from the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Anshul Agarwal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First one, so what are our plans to expand beyond our existing north and east geography?
So for the time being, we for the near and short term, we plan to focus on our core geography, which is West Bengal, and expand to the northeastern part of the country, which is fairly underpenetrated and underserved.
Okay, so in that case, would we be looking at expanding via the B2B mode, or would this expansion be B2C only?
So we are basically planning to expand in both the modes. So we will cater to the B2C segment by setting up more centers and both big and small in the new geographies that we enter. And as far as B2B segment is concerned, we, Suraksha being the only lab which is capable of doing a lot of high-end tests throughout East and Northeast India, we also plan to expand on our B2B revenues.
Got it. And just for my understanding, is this polyclinic model prevalent in other geographies as well, or is it just restricted to Eastern markets?
It is very much prevalent in Eastern India, even when we see our success in Guwahati with polyclinics and also in Shillong. Because of a lack of super specialists available in these places, Suraksha does a lot of outreach clinics where we take very high-end specialty doctors from Kolkata to far and beyond. So we see a great success throughout our core geography.
In answer to your question, you see, the polyclinic model has been prevalent in the medical industry all along. If you look at the scenario in hospitals, you will find that patients usually turn up at the OPDs from where they proceed for investigation, admission and all that. So it is not an absolutely non-existent concept in other parts of the country. It is there, but one can say that Suraksha is the only diagnostic chain which has such a model, and in that it remains unique.
Got it. Thank you for the detailed answer. Just a follow-up on this. So how do we set up this polyclinic? Do we invite these super specialists? Do we sort of engage with them? Do we hire such specialists? Or how is it, if you could just give us some understanding of this model?
So this is basically, you know, our polyclinics will typically have from a GP to the most super specialized consultants. And like they practice in other hospitals and nursing homes, they are also associated with Suraksha. So there is no, like, you may be associated with other hospitals and nursing homes while you are also practicing in Suraksha. They typically have, you know, thrice a week, 2 hour slots that they practice in.
Got it, got it. Thank you so much for those answers. My next question is on margins. So while our margins have improved, but they still seem to trail another listed integrated diagnostics operator, despite our radiology contribution being higher, and, you know, as well as premium pricing, which is prevalent in the markets that you operate in. So do we have a plan in place to sort of get these margins to sort of improve by another 300, 400 basis points over the next 18 to 24 months?
Absolutely, because as we expand our business and the economies of scale is setting in, we are seeing our margins are improving. And like our peers have already demonstrated, in an integrated model, these are sustainable margins going forward, and we definitely plan to increase or improve our margins by 300 basis points year on year.
Oh, year on year, great. Good to know that.
Anjush, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but if you could please join in the queue.
Sure, I'll join back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Deepak Gupta from JM Financial Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Few bookkeeping questions. If you could give us some perspective about what is the B2G business for the company and the B2B business for the company on a consolidated level, and what would be the margin difference between the pathology and the radiology segment?
The margin difference between pathology and radiology services are practically very similar. And we really don't even bifurcate it like that because most of the costs are so intertwined that it's pretty difficult. As far as the B2B segment is concerned, our revenue is approximately 6% today. And B2C is 94%.
And there's no business to the government?
We do have business to the government. We have... as of today, we have 3 PPP projects that we undergo. We have 3 CT scans set up in the different medical colleges of West Bengal, and we have a PPP business with the government of Meghalaya in Shillong. And right now, the proportion of business is very small where PPP is concerned, and we would like to maintain it that way.
And if you could give us some views on your CAPEX plans for the next 3 years.
So we approximately have a CAPEX outlay of around 70 crores per year that we have planned going forward, because we plan to add 12 to 15 centers every year from FY25 going forward.
And this will be all funded through internal accruals?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Varad Patil from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I had 2 questions. The first was that in the last 3 years, if you look at your tests per patient, they have been increasing, while at the same time, the revenue per test has declined. So can you throw some light on this? And my second question would be that what is your maturity profile of the centers? And in terms of center addition plans that you gave out, that 20-15 per year, so, division among small, medium, and large centers.
So, pardon my saying, so can you repeat this and a little slow? The voice is coming a little garbled.
I'm audible.
You are audible.
Can we go one question at a time? It would be easier.
Okay. So, the first question is that in the last 3 years, the tests per patient have been increasing, while at the same time your revenue per test has declined. So could you throw some light on this?
Hold on a second.
Our test per patient has been increasing over the past 3 years, and so has our revenue per patient.
No, test, revenue per test, okay, that has declined.
Revenue per patient has also been increasing along with test number of tests per patient.
Revenue per test, I'm sorry, revenue per test.
No, there has been no price decline, if that's what
it is. Revenue per patient is increasing. Revenue per test.
If by that you mean whether we had any price cut in any test, that has not happened. We have not reduced prices. So, revenue per test going down should not actually be the correct image.
And where has it gone down?
So the has the test mix changed for it to decline?
So we are not actually getting this. Is there a data point on this?
So if you reverse calculate this, your revenue divided by number of tests performed per year. So your revenue per test has declined these 2 years, from FY22 to FY24. So that was my primary question. Yeah.
As I said, that no test price has decreased. We haven't reduce prices for any test. So part say revenue per test cannot go down. What can happen is the volume of routine tests might go up, but even that has not happened. As you see, the revenue per patient has been continuously increasing. But if you leave us a contact thing, then we can try to answer your question.
Okay, so and my second question was your maturity profile of your centers and the 12 to 15 centers addition per year that you gave. So what would be the division likely be in terms of small, medium centers and your PPP partnerships?
So our first thing I would like to say is F per patient has gone up from
384. From
FY24-25. So FY24-25, our revenue per test has gone up from 365 to 384. So the data point is somewhere mismatching. And as far as the number of centers that we are planning to build around 12 to 15, we will be having 4 to 5 centers will be big and the rest will be small.
And
PPP is something we don't actively pursue, but since we are the largest in the geography, sometimes we have to participate, and if we are awarded a few, we have to also execute them.
Okay, thank you. That's it so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats for the good set of numbers, ma'am. My first question is on the radiology mix. See, we are indicating that the advanced tests are kind of a 12% odd, while the basic and intermediate tests are 88%. So, given many of your center are at the early stage of their life cycle, so what is the understanding one should have, whether this is a low number, the advanced test mix is a low number and it can gradually increase, or what should be the kind of ideal mix between the advanced versus basic and intermediate radiology tests?
Like you rightly pointed out, a lot of our centers, in fact 40% of our centers are not yet mature. And as the business ramps up, they will obviously be catering to both routine and specialized radiology. So both the numbers should grow.
Okay, the mix, what should be the ideal mix between the advanced and the intermediate?
I think the mix would more or less remain the same till we start our pathology genetic lab that we are in the process of setting up. And then the mix might change to maybe 85% and 15%, but not beyond that.
Okay, how can the test addition in the pathology will help the radiology mix, ma'am?
Because a lot of these tests are integrated. You know, for example, fetal medicine when we do, so we do a fetal scan and then it's followed up with a lot of pathology tests. So typically, like I told you in the beginning also, business is quite intertwined. And if you want to serve the whole need of the patient, then we need to cater to all of it.
Okay. That is one. And secondly, see, one of the largest cost component what we have is the doctor and professional cost, right?
Yes.
So that fees, how should one think considering the doctor consultation model, omni-channel doctor consultation model what we have. So right now, that is the polyclinic is a kind of 4% revenue contributor. Going
yes.
ahead, we are expecting that to rise. So given that, whether this cost component also accordingly see a kind of uptick?
So obviously, you know, when the typical arrangement that we have with doctors sitting in our polyclinics is that we collect the revenue and at the end of the month we give 85% back to the doctor and Suraksha retains 15%. But, you know, Suraksha is primarily a diagnostic company, and this is just an addition to escalate the diagnostic business to generate in-house business, and therefore the contribution to diagnostics is much larger than just the consultation piece.
So whether the doctor fees is the largest component of this professional plus doctor fees, ma'am?
So here the larger component is the reporting fees. So typically all the tests that we do, all the MRI, CT scans, ultrasounds, x-rays, so pathology, so the reporting fees, that means the doctors who sign off the reports or make the reports, that is a much larger component.
Okay. So that
and
is
that
basically...
As we scale up, again you will see the percentage wise this will diminish. So again, giving us better leverage.
So in a way this will not be a kind of a pressure point for our margin going ahead, rather it would be a supplementing factor.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just a last point from my side, ma'am. While you are indicating that faster consolidation benefit accruing to us and possibly acquisition or inorganic organic growth in the eastern side of India, so why now? Why not earlier? Any shift or any change in the strategy that you are thinking? Hence, you are becoming aggressive in terms of the M&A-led growth or extension-led growth or expansion-led growth?
So we are evaluating opportunities because, like we mentioned, our focus is east and northeast because it's more underserved, there is less competition, and therefore, and this is our home geography where we are very aware of the nuances. So therefore, we plan to expand in our eastern India market, both through acquisition and also organically.
Okay. And the number of centers that you are going to add, as you indicated, can you repeat that?
It's around 12 to
15. You mentioned?
12 to 15 per year, yes.
Okay. Okay. Sure, ma'am. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pranav Chawla from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, management, for the listing and the maiden results. I had a couple of questions. One, how is the competitive landscape in the West Bengal region? What would be, say, the number two, number three player?
So, the number two, number three players are regional chains in West Bengal, which have typically 4 to 5 centers present. And they are around 20% of our size approximately. That is the competition that we have. As far as the national players are concerned, they basically focus on B2B business, which is through franchisee networks, which is not one of our focus areas because we plan to cater to the customers directly and therefore the 94% B2C share. So that is basically the competitive landscape in our geography today.
And coming on the pricing front, is there a price parity between West Bengal and the other regions where we operate as of now?
Can you please come again?
Is there a price difference between West Bengal and the other markets?
Yes, so West Bengal or the Eastern India market is a little premiumly priced. It's the same as Western India. And then...
I mean to say within West Bengal and the other geographies that you operate in.
So
I think you highlighted your presence is in Bihar as well as Northeast.
Yes. So typically Northeast is a little more expensive than West Bengal and Bihar. West Bengal and Bihar are similarly priced. But Northeast is at a premium of around 20 to 30%. Again, because of lack of availability.
Perfect. And one last question from my end. What would be the portion of revenue coming from bundle tests?
Bundle tests would be around 3 to 4%.
So do we have plans to expand this? in the near future, or do we expect this to be under 5%?
No, so we do have plans to expand this to whatever we can, but typically diagnostic in India still is very reactive, and that is the trend throughout the country. Of course, post-COVID,
if we have some awareness. As you just highlighted, for some radiology tests, there are some complementary tests as well. Are you including this in bundle, or this is altogether different?
So these are not bundled as of today. These are very high-end tests. When we talk about bundles, we are talking about health packages.
Okay, perfect.
That means preventive diagnostics.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gautam Gosar from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. Ma'am, I basically wanted to understand a bit on margins. So we're opening around 12 to 15 centers every year. So basically, what would be the maturity time or break-even time for each of your centers, and how would that help you in the margin expansion? Because there'll be some dip or some loss initially, and then it would ramp up. So if you could help us understand what will be the break-even time and what will be the time taken for optimal utilization.
Okay. So as far as a center is concerned, a small center typically breaks even in around 3 to 4 months. This is the operational break-even that we are talking about. A large center takes around 6 to 7 months to break even operationally. And of course, when the investment is there, and typically we take 5 years as a maturity period. So when we talk about expansion of margins in our old centers or mature centers, that will continue to grow. But the new centers obviously will take some time before it starts adding to the margins overall.
So at the current level of margins, should we assume that these will ramp up, like it will take around 2 to 3 years to ramp up to around 38-40% kind of?
Yes, the new centers definitely, but we also expect margin expansion in our existing centers. Like I mentioned, 40% of our centers are less than 5 years old, and 25% of our centers are less than 3 years old. So these centers, as they ramp up, will keep increasing our EBITDA margins. So the newer centers, they will operationally break even. But of course, to contribute to the same level of EBITDA margins is a matter of 2 to 3 years.
Okay. And ma'am, if you could help us understand, what will be the revenue at which these centers will break even?
So break even, typically a small center breaks even at a revenue of around 6.5 lakhs per month. And a big center breaks even at around 15-16 lakhs a month.
Okay. Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Siddharth from Tusk Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have two questions. My first question is like we mentioned, like we'll grow, we are trying to grow our new centers by 12 to 15 per year. So like FY25, how far, how many centers have we commissioned so far?
So far we have commissioned 6 centers and 9 centers are going to be commissioned in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so we are on track to do 12 to 15 centers for FY25.
Absolutely. In spite of all the time that the IPO process took, we still plan to be on track.
Okay. And my second question is regarding H2. Like, it will be similar to H1, or is there any growth that happens in H2, like cyclically?
See, typically, you know, our H1 is a little muted because of the problem that Bengal faced, you know, because of the widespread protests within the medical community, which affected the months of August, September and October for us. but we expect the second half also to be very robust.
Okay, ma'am. Oh, that will be from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anubhav from MacPro. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, congratulations on the pickup in center addition this year. It looks like a bit of a change in strategy. If you look at the last 2-3 years, the center addition has been. If you can reflect on your thoughts on getting a little more aggressive on the center addition part. And also, could you bring a breakup of the progress so far in fiscal 25? What has been, we have added centers, whether it is majorly in West Bengal, and what is the mix between big and small centers?
So we've added, we are adding 3 big centers this year. And 2 medium centers, and we are adding 7 small centers this year. And these are basically in West Bengal itself. We've also added 4 PPP projects this year, in addition to the centers.
So, like you mentioned, so this is the trajectory you want to maintain for medium time period, 2015 kind of a thing. And,
yes.
Ma'am, you also mentioned about inorganic opportunity. I'm just dialing back to our meets and all. So I think that time, I think the focus or the priority was more for organic kind of growth. Is there a change in strategy on that side as well in terms of inorganic opportunities or
We are exploring inorganic opportunities as well. And, because of the consolidation happening, there are opportunities that are coming our way and we are exploring them. And if they are at the right price with good quality diagnostics and customer centricity, we would definitely evaluate and maybe acquire a few.
And last one on the polyclinic part, for last fiscal, I think revenue contribution from this was something around 1%. How has been the traction for this fiscal year? And if you have any number in mind for medium term, like 2-3 years, so what percentage could come from polyclinic?
The percentage, I think, would be around 4% going forward also, because they also contribute to diagnostics. So as their revenue grows, so does the diagnostics. So percentage would not exceed more than 4-5% is what I would think.
Okay. And for this fiscal, have you reached something around that? 3-4%?
Yes, I think this quarter has been 3.4% or something. So our first half, I think, has 3.4% of revenue coming out of consultation.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1.
We are done.
The next question comes from the line of Sriram, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. The polyclinic facility, is it present only in hub centers or they are present in both? And how many polyclinics do you have?
So we have polyclinics present both in hub and spoke centers. A hub center, which is a large center, will typically have 5-7 chambers, whereas a small center would have around 2-3 chambers. And we have around more than 120 polyclinics today.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have follow-up questions from Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one clarification about the point you mentioned about the PPP.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 4 PPP already, and we are going to add 4 more, ma'am, this year.
We are going to add 3 more. We are adding 2 more CT scans and 1 MRI machine.
And all these are the nature of the PPP are radiology centers?
Basically, they are typically just a setup of an MRI machine or a CT scan machine in the medical colleges of the state.
Okay. And so in terms of the center metrics for the PPP,
yes,
it would be similar,
yes,
to that of our existing centers, or it would be slightly lower? How should one think, and at what level of maturity, or let's say penetration, I mean utilization, that we would be currently at the existing PPPs?
So the PPP typically costs around 1.5 to 1.75 CR as far as CT scan is concerned, and our MRI PPP will be the first in this year, so that will cost around 7 CR.
Okay.
Or 8 CR maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And in terms of the revenue realization and the achieving the targeted per patient population there, so what is generally the expectation?
So the expectation in centers which have already had a CT scan or an MRI, for example, the MRI is in the biggest medical college of Kolkata.
Hmm.
So we expect the break even in the first month itself.
Oh, okay. Because of the footfall that would be there.
Yes.
But the newer centers?
And the newer centers, like we mentioned, a small center typically breaks even in 3 to 4 months, and a big center for us takes 6 to 7 months to break even.
Okay. It is the same as like our own centers?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nishant Gupta from Minerva Global Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is a bit more industry specific, and which, you know, percolates to your growth. So you have indicated in your presentation that the Eastern market will grow at around 12.5%, right? So, and you have grown like around 14.5% in the top line. So do we feel that going forward this rate can increase? Because since you are the, you know, the market leader, so I mean it is imperative that you will gain a faster kind of a growth rate. So just wanted your sense on that.
Yes, this percentage can definitely increase, and our target is definitely to grow beyond 15% year on year, because we are the largest player and we will also be consolidating our position further. We will also take in some inorganic growth. So we expect to do better, definitely.
Got it. So you're saying that 15% is the minimum that growth you are envisaging in the,
yes,
coming years, right?
Yes.
Got it. Ma'am, the second question is, you mentioned that the northeastern market has a premium of 20 to 30% because of the lack of opportunity. Do we see any kind of, you know, capping coming from the state government side when it comes to, you know, the testing in that particular region, which is good for the patients but not good for your business?
Can you please repeat?
Yeah. So I'm just asking that you are commanding a higher premium in the northeastern market, right? 20 to 30%, which you mentioned earlier. So just wanted, like, can there be a capping from the state government on, you know, the prices of these particular tests in that particular area, which is detrimental for you as a business?
The chances of this remains very remote, you know, because of the one is an accepted fact is providing quality diagnostic or healthcare services in Northeast still remains a challenge, mainly because of the difficult terrain. So the state government, on the other hand, is actually extremely helpful to people like us who are trying to set up current day services in places like Assam or Meghalaya or Tripura or Mizoram, so that we do not perceive as and as a challenge. Or I will say there is a flip side to it. It is actually the state government has a very robust system to help organizations like us to prosper in Northeast.
Got it, sir. So thank you, sir, for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jigar Walia from OHM Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this call and opportunity. My question pertains to the organization structure. If you can help understand what businesses are fully captured with the listed entity, and if at all there are any minorities, and generally what is the thought process in terms of when you with regards to the corporate structure. Yeah.
Corporate structure, as in we do have some subsidiary companies, which is primarily for the French, for the PPP businesses that we do, because there are some clause by the government where we need to have been in this business for last 20 years. And there our old company comes into play. So therefore we have these structures in place, but otherwise everything is in SDL.
Okay, so largely most of the numbers are kind of getting captured at the SDL level.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And you also, as you expand organically, inorganically, you partner with existing doctors running clinics or anything like that, and any equity partnerships or JV, is that, or typically it is you take up entirely 100%? And if you're any partner, then they would come at the SDL level.
We would definitely like to take over in totality, but you know, it's a strange place. If today there is an big enough acquisition, so we are not averse to it. But then the acquisition target has to be very sizable. But we are definitely not averse if it helps the company in its growth journey. Surely, why not? But for the smaller acquisitions, we are trying to always take it in totality. Whatever discussions are currently going on, they are absolutely for taking over in totality.
In totality. So all the centers would be managed by your staff and not by any partner doctors or prior clinic holders. Got it.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Bhavya Sangvi from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. First is regarding what has been the patient and growth in the first half of the year, first half FY 25?
Number of patients has increased from in first half 25 is around 6,70,000 number of patients we have served in H1, and in June it was around 0.28 million, so we have a growth of around 5 to 10% in there.
50%.
Okay. And in terms of tests,
the number of tests has also increased to 5.42 in comparison to 5.242 per patient, number of tests per patient in comparison to 5.26 in fiscal 2024.
Okay, understood. And so in terms of your segmental orientation, what would you consider to be the major driver of your growth? Would it be radiology or pathology? Where would you be focusing more of your capex and your management bandwidth towards?
Like we mentioned, we are an integrated model and our focus is basically to serve the consumer, and most of our prescriptions that we handle have both radiology and pathology, and our focus is on basically serving the doctors and the patients. So So we really can't be focusing on particularly radiology tests or pathology tests. And of course, as we add the pathology genetic tests that we are in the process of adding, definitely the pathology vertical will grow a little more than the radiology segment.
Okay, I understand. And one last bookkeeping question. So in other expenses, do we have one-off IPO-related expense in this quarter?
No, we don't.
So that would end in the next quarter?
So since it was an OFS, there is hardly any IPO-related expenses that are being borne by the company. It has been taken by the shareholders.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take the last question from the line of Gautam Gosar from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Ma'am, my question is on lease adjustment. So can you help us understand what is the lease cost per center and as a percentage on the whole EBITDA, how much is the percentage?
Our lease cost will be very small because most of our people are covered under ESI and therefore the leave cost is also met by ESI. But we've never really worked out on this number specifically because it's pretty small.
Ma'am, but in our September balance sheet, if you see the cash flow, the payment is around 10 crores for the lease adjustment in the first half itself.
Adjustment.
It will be around 20 crore kind of
a
number.
That is not leave adjustment. That is lease. That is lease. That means the all our properties are on lease rent. So that is the...
I'm asking that only.
Okay. Sorry, we heard leave.
So that will be the per center lease cost if you could help us understand.
So we typically have a lease cost of around 6 to 7%. And you know, as the, again, as the business ramps up, the lease cost will again become a little smaller than 6 to 7%. So as these centers mature and the volumes grow, again, the cost, which is 6 to 7%, should go down to around 5.5% to 6.5%.
Understood. But if you put, suppose, 12 to 15 centers every year, so how much should be the lease cost for that per center, unit economic basis is what I'm trying to understand.
Okay, so for a small center, our lease would be somewhere around 1 to 1.5 lakhs. For a big center, it would be somewhere around sometimes 3 to sometimes maybe 7 lakhs. Depends on the geography that we are catering to.
This is per month, right?
Per month, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today and for your continued interest in Suraksha Diagnostics Limited. We are proud of the progress we've made this quarter and remain committed to delivering long-term value to our stakeholders. As we move forward, our focus will remain on operational excellence, innovation, market expansion, and customer service. If you please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. We look forward to connecting with you again during our next earnings call. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Suraksha Diagnostics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.